be when the order is given to censor your mind as free speech is forbidden, as martyrs for peace from the world will be driven away by the sound of a bellowing thunder and choke on the blood of a dream going under. From every direction, we cry revolution, standing together.
Okay, greetings. Jason Rink here with the Liberty Voice Podcast. Today is June 26, 2010. Just coming to you, bringing a few highlights of the articles that we've got posted up at thelibertyvoice.com. And I want to start with the first article today, FCC stealth plan to censor internet content. Now, I don't think any of us should really be too surprised that the FCC has a desire or a plan to censor internet content, or that the federal government has a desire to censor internet content. Let's be honest. The internet is the bastion of free speech. It's the bastion of news and information that is not approved by the establishment. And so the internet is going to come under attack. The problem is that the American people are dependent on the internet. The problem is the American people have started to wake up and understand that the internet needs to be free and unregulated in order for it to continue to be the resource that it's been for the last 10 years. And so what's going to happen is, it says here that in order to control the internet and to do so without much notice, the FCC has rolled a censorship plan into its net neutrality scheme. Under the fallacious rubric of consumer protection, the FCC is calling for the regulation of television and internet broadband. So this is really another example of how when the government tries to do something, they always try to do it under a couple of key ways. It's always to protect the children. It's always to give consumers real choice. It's always to break up some monopolies that exist in order to create a more free and safe internet. They're also talking about, Obama was talking about his kill switch for the internet because they want to make sure that quote-unquote terrorists aren't going to use it to plan and plot to take down America. So again, anytime they move to try to censor the internet and to try to censor information that's coming to the American people, it's never done out in the open. It's always done under this guise of trying to protect us and to try to preserve something in the quote-unquote free market. Again, it's all a ruse. It's the end result here is to produce a situation with the internet to control the broadband so that we've really just got another, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of channels of information that is absolutely meaningless. Just like we have on television right now. We've got plenty of news channels, but it's all the same thing. You've got your left-leaning news publications on television. You've got your right-leaning news publications. But all they are is they're parroting the, political talking points that are approved by Washington. They always continue to uphold the establishment positions. And so the FCC is coming here and, they're going to try to accomplish this through net neutrality. One of the things they're going to talk about doing is they're going to set up a cable box that becomes the broadband gateway device controlling access to the internet, TV, and phone. And they're calling this the National Broadband Plan. And what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to put something together that's very homogeneous across the board so that you've really got just one source through which all of your electronic media comes. The problem with this is that it would open the door for the FCC to begin monitoring and censoring the content on the internet. And, the bottom line here is that once you centralize the information, and once you centralize the source of information, you are also giving that central entity power to censor and close down and squeeze out competition when it comes to that information. So this is something we really need to be aware of, is that the federal government is going to try to accomplish this on a number of fronts. Obama's going to try to put his kill switch plan into place. The FCC is going to come in and try to regulate the internet until it becomes some sort of completely watered down source of non-truth. So then through net neutrality, which is really getting promoted by a lot of people who don't understand that it's ultimately going to create a situation. See, they think that net neutrality is about breaking up the, you know, big evil corporations, but what it's really about placing more power and concentrating it in the hands of government. So that's up on the LibertyVoice.com. Another article I want to talk about, its headline is, Police Tase 86-Year-Old Disabled Grandmother in Her Bed. And what this story talks about is that there's an 86-year-old grandmother who's hooked up to oxygen in her home, and apparently she posed a threat to herself and to these police officers with a knife that she had when the police officers entered her residence. Okay? And so what we have here is a situation where the taser was used in order to subdue this woman, again, who's on an oxygen tank, because the police officers felt that she had posed a threat to them in this situation because she wasn't doing what they asked her to do. She wasn't listening to the state lords here in this case. And so what's interesting about this is I think what this highlights is what the taser really means in our modern society. See, it used to be that police officers had a few ways to gain control of a situation or subdue an individual. They had the old school, the nightstick, right? Where they're able to use that billy club and to get somebody under control that way. And they had their sidearm, which is obviously a lethal force that can be used to subdue somebody. What's happened with the introduction of the taser is the taser has provided a non-lethal option that is actually quite painful, that subdues people. It's really a torture device if you think about it. And so the taser has given law enforcement this sort of third option when they're in a confrontation. And whereas police officers are going to be very hesitant, or at least they used to be very hesitant of using lethal force in the form of a gun to subdue somebody, certainly an 86-year-old grandmother, they probably wouldn't choose to do that with. The taser now provides sort of a convenient option of really reminding the citizens who's in charge by delivering a high-powered electric charge to their bodies, immobilizing them, being able to do it a number of times, so you've got this sort of electroshock torture thing going on. And the taser is dangerous because what we're seeing happen more and more, we're seeing more and more stories like this of disabled individuals being tased, of children being tased, of grandmothers being tased. And the taser is being used very indiscriminately. And it is being used without the kind of discrimination that a gun would be used by a law enforcement officer. The other thing I don't really buy here, and again, you got to check out the story at thelibertyvoice.com, is that an 86-year-old grandmother posed such a threat to the law enforcement in this story. I believe there was actually, I'm going to have to check the article here again, that there was more than one law enforcement officer in this situation. It wasn't just one law enforcement officer here. And, you know, The police officer and law enforcement individuals, they should be trained to handle dangerous situations. They should be trained to anticipate conflict, anticipate resistance. And, an 86-year-old grandmother shouldn't be a situation that your typical law enforcement officer can't handle without resorting to a taser or a sidearm. The other thing that's interesting here is this woman was hooked up to an oxygen tank. Now, anybody who's in the medical fields know that you're not supposed to have an open flame or spark near oxygen tanks. So you've got a situation here with this taser, which has got its tens of thousands of volts of electricity that shoot through that thing. You know, there's a very real possibility that taser could have sparked and ignited this oxygen tank. And it could have sent the entire place ablaze in this scenario. So again, just a very reckless use of this. So again, this is something that, you know, I just wanted to bring the attention to. Was this situation, the 86-year-old grandmother being tased? Another interesting story that's up here, and this one is from Paul Joseph Watson. It says Congressman Rohrabacher almost all House Republicans think Iraq war is illegal and immoral. And what this is from an interview with Judge Andrew Napolitano, whose Freedom Watch has just gone to Fox Business Channel from Fox.com. It's now on Saturdays and on Sundays. I think there's a repeat. And Judge Andrew Napolitano is interviewing on his latest episode that airs today, Congressman Rohrabacher, who's a Republican. He's kind of a down-the-middle Republican. And he indicates that the true feelings of most of the Republicans in Congress right now is that Iraq was an illegal war and an immoral war, that it was an unconstitutional war. And this is not something that you're going to hear out there among the Tea Party neocons right now. It's not something you're going to hear out there by the people who are still sort of clinging to the legacy of Bush-Cheney. But it is something that I believe we should see start to get more traction with the Tea Party crowd and to the types of conservatives who are quoting the Founding Fathers, who are reading the Constitution, and who are starting to wake up to this false left-right paradigm in America that the Republicans are somehow going to save us from the Democrats, and that the Republicans are somehow the bastion of freedom and liberty and constitutional principles. Because the truth of the matter is that the Iraq War was not constitutionally declared, just like every other war we've been in since World War II. The Iraq War is an immoral war in that there's been a lot of activities that have occurred in the war in Iraq and in the wars in the Middle East that have been violations of either the Geneva Conventions, rules of engagement. There's a lot of different things. So we've got some issues here in that, you know, this sort of debate about the war in America, it's sort of shrouded in this nationalism, in this false patriotism. It's making it very difficult for Republicans and conservatives to come out and honestly take a look at the war, because anyone who's opposed the war has been painted as an anti-American, soft-on-terrorism liberal by people like Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, Mark Levin, and other people who are on Fox News. What's interesting about this whole story is that Judge Andrew Napolitano is really, you know, I think he's a rising star with Fox. I think we're going to see a demand for him to get more airtime on Fox and for him to go to Fox News Channel rather than Fox Business Channel eventually. This poses an enormous problem for the neocon hawks and the talk show talking heads that have been on there for the last 10 years, because they've been selling a bill of goods to the American people that you have to back every foreign entanglement that the federal government gets us into if you're going to be a true patriot, if you're going to love liberty. And the more and more people are waking up to the limits of the Constitution, more and more people are waking up to the Founding Fathers and people like James Madison, who talked about the dangers of foreign entanglements, and George Washington. And as even guys like Glenn Beck are starting to really generate a reverence and worship of the Founding Fathers in the Tea Party crowd, inevitably people are going to get to the place where they realize that our foreign entanglements in Iraq and in Afghanistan are questionable from a constitutional basis. So I think this is an important article. It's a good article to circulate to conservatives and Tea Party types who have a respect for Judge Andrew Napolitano, and to help them to understand that these wars need to be put under a level of scrutiny that they haven't put them under recently. So, finally, the last thing that I want to talk about today is this article from, I believe, the LA Times. And the headline is, California welfare recipients withdrew $1.8 million at casino ATMs in over a period of 8 months. What the story talks about is this, what's called the EBT program, which is part of the California welfare program, where welfare recipients have been able to withdraw cash from ATMs. And the reason that they're able to withdraw cash from ATMs with their cards, which, again, you know, in this whole effort to make welfare something that doesn't carry a negative social stigma, you know, they're given cards that look just like ATM cards so that if the person standing in front of you in line at the grocery store is using food stamps, they're just swiping a card just like an ATM card. And unless you really take a look at what's going on, you wouldn't know they were using it. And so these cards now, for some reason, have the ability to withdraw cash. Now, it used to be that with food stamps and welfare, that they could only spend the money on certain things. They couldn't buy alcohol, cigarettes. They certainly couldn't use the money for gambling or to buy drugs or to pay prostitutes, what have you. And so there was limits on what you could use it at because you couldn't withdraw cash. Well, in California, someone got the bright idea that people needed, you know, to be able to withdraw cash from their you know, welfare card. And lo and behold, to everybody's surprise, there's just been a huge number of withdrawals at casinos. $1.8 million in 8 months. Somebody did the numbers, and it came up to like $220,000 a month in taxpayer money being withdrawn at casinos. Now, you've got to ask yourself, why are they withdrawing it at casinos? Is it because that just happens to be the nearest ATM that they could get to in order to withdraw money and go buy food? Or are they using it to gamble? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they're probably using it to gamble. And who knows what else the individuals are using them for? I mean, once you can take your welfare benefits and turn it into cash, you can put that money anywhere into the black market. You can use that money to buy drugs. You can use that money to go to strip clubs. You can use that money to purchase anything. And so this is just really, I think, this happening in California is sort of just a huge object lesson as to where this whole entitlement society is going in this country. I mean, this is the logical conclusion, isn't it? The logical conclusion of people just not having a negative social stigma about using welfare and being able to live life like a normal citizen who works and isn't on welfare, why not allow them to get cash and use cash anywhere? So Schwarzenegger's bright idea here is all of these recipients of these EBT cards, well, what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to sign a pledge. And they're going to have to vow that they are not going to use any of this money and the cash that they withdraw for any improper purchases. They're only going to use it for life's necessities and to meet the needs of their children. What a joke. This is such a joke. And it's funny because the Republicans who are opposing this in California, they're saying, well, what we need to do is we need to, you know, pass legislation and make sure that they can't use these cards at any illicit establishments, liquor stores and casinos and anything like that. Like that's going to stop the problem because anybody can go and they could use this at Walmart to get cash back for crying out loud, and then they could take that money and they could go to a liquor store or they could go to a casino. See, this is the thing. People, when they have the right motivation, are always going to have a way to get around any government legislation. It's just true across the board. The government legislates, tries to prevent people from doing certain things, and people find a way around it. And so these Republican blowhards, you know, are acting like they're getting tough on this thing, when really they need to crack down on the real problem, which is the entitlement society that is destroying California and that can possibly destroy this entire country. So that's the Liberty Voice commentary today. I'm Jason Rink. I just want to encourage you again, sign up, subscribe to the updates at the Liberty Voice, or subscribe to the physical publication. Currently, it's sent out 6 times a year. I'm hoping to move that circulation up to 12 times a year. We're looking to currently expand it to the Austin, Texas area. You can find it in many locations in the Central Ohio area. But please, subscribe to the Liberty Voice. Support independent media because we're out there to try to continue to give you the truth, to continue to expose the Republicans and the Democrats, to expose the real agenda, what's going on in this country, and to empower the regular people in this country and in this nation to take the power back. This is Jason Rink with the Liberty Voice, and I'm signing off.
Oh, if you looked in the eyes of 1,000 young children through fences of razors, their innocence stolen, is that